Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back, brought to you by Sports Drink. Justin Fields had his second pro day, and now he's going third overall. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the guy who advised Joe Douglas not to trade Sam Darnold for the 12th pick. And with me, as always, is AJ. All corners are sons of NFL players, Marchese.
It is ridiculous how many the seconds and juniors and just sons of NFL players we have in this group and in this class in general.
Three corners is pretty outrageous. And like all good corners too.
Yeah. And we got Warren G's son.
Oh yeah. Which is more important than anything.
And he's Willie McGinnis. Godson, just to throw that out there.
Oh, brought the facts. Today, we're continuing our 2021 NFL draft position rankings with the cornerbacks and our divisional draft preview with the NFC North. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby driving up. To Cleveland, maybe, looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day. Don't draft specialists on the second day. Maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. AJ, what if I told you there was an app out there that was a sports talk platform that was live and audio only?
Whoa, I wouldn't believe you. It sounds too good to be true.
And what if I also threw in that it's free to download and to use?
I would say you're a gosh darn madman.
What if I told you could talk to other fans, athletes, insiders, and podcast hosts all in real time?
Everyone? That's everyone.
It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experience on the app, AJ.
Yeah, you know what? I'll be going on to a locker room during the first intermission of this Leafs-Jets game and getting some hot takes. But what's wrong with the power play and the penalty kill and how we can improve our Corsi?
All you need to do that is download the Locker Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Follow all your favorite people there, and you'll get notified when the room goes live. So, enjoy Locker Room, and enjoy AJ's Leaf Talk.
You got to know the local markets. You got to know the local markets.
Want to start a spinoff pod where we just talk Leafs and Jays? Not Raptors. not the team I actually care for in Toronto. But
I mean, yeah, I love it. Hey, I still don't understand the 10-7 playoff tournament, but I'll get there one day.
Okay. Noted.
Just give me some time with it. I know you're harping me about it, but just give me some time. I'll figure it out.
Okay. So we're doing cornerbacks today. Let's start by mentioning we will be doing nickels in the following show. So there will be probably for both of us a handful of guys who should be top 10 corners when you use it in a broad sense. That will be on our nickel show. Because to me, a cornerback is an outside player who covers the receiver. A nickel is an inside player who is covering slots. And it's a different skill set. Different players fit that role differently. So we're talking about outside cornerbacks specifically today. So guys like, at least for me, Elijah Molden, Aaron Robinson, Asante Samuel Jr., guys who are definitely top 10 corners are not going to be on my list because they will be on my nickels list.
Yeah, I stuck with Samuel and Robinson as corners. But, you know, I'll give them a I think they both deserve a shot outside first. And, like, at the very worst, they could be high-end nickels. And
me putting them at nickel isn't because I think that they can't play outside. I think, like, to me, like, being a nickel isn't a downgrade from being an outside corner for the most part. Yep. Right? Like, it's the same thing with a slot. I mean, people are trying to argue Julian Edelman to the Hall of Fame right now and is better than Calvin Johnson and all this stuff because the inside player, it's just as important as the outside player.
Yeah, that's – yeah, you know what? I agree. You know what? I'm glad you also agree that Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame.
Correct. But hey, if we're putting Edelman in, let's get Troy Brown in there. Mm-hmm. Let's get Wes Welker in there. Let's get Scottie Miller. Wes Welker was better than Edelman. That's all I'm saying. Wes Welker was way better than Julian Edelman. Like, not even close.
Edelman's just, like, gritty.
Edelman was just cool because I could run the triple option with him at Kent State and NCAA.
Yeah, he's a cool story. I mean, really good in the playoffs. Like, that's for sure.
Okay, we're not debating this. I don't know how this happened.
There's no debate. I'm just saying.
Put him
in. Anyways, yeah. So Samuel and Robinson are in my top 10. Molden will be in my nickels. Plus, you move him over to nickel for more content, and that's what I respect you for, Rob.
Yeah. I could talk about more good players this way instead of having to talk about my nickel nine, be like some undrafted guy.
You know what? I'm fine. We can totally gloss over them today, and because we're doing the next episode tomorrow, we're kind of bunching these two together. We can do Robinson and Samuel tomorrow, and give them the time they really deserve. I'm cool with that.
Wow, you just always bow down to me, don't you?
I'm making content here. I'm just a content mill.
Well, then why haven't you put out your Julian Edelman's a Hall of Fame rap?
That's at the end of the show when we sign off. I'll just stick around and do a 35 minute monologue.
Why don't you hop on Locker Room and do a live talk about it?
Well, this is no. So just to say, my 35 minute monologue is actually just a preview for my 3-hour Locker Room seminar about it.
Seminar. Okay, we got to get out of this. We got to talk about the corners. Mm-hmm. Okay, overall, corner group. Obviously, a ton of top-end talent, multiple mm-hmm. first-rounders. For me, I thought some solid depth into day two. I found after my top 10, it really fell off a lot. Obviously, again, I don't have some guys that you're going to have, some of the guys I put in the nickel category. So that's going to hurt the outside corner depth. But I feel like there's not a lot of guys I would necessarily be banging the table for on day three. Mm-hmm. But obviously, again, the top end talent is big time. And there's a couple more starters you're going to get on day two with big upside.
Yeah. So just to break this down quick, I got two first round grades. Only I got a borderline first round grade, then I have seven second round grades, so that's a big group there for me, and then only one guy in the third, and then like four guys in the fourth, and then that's kind of that, so it drops off pretty quick there. Mm-hmm.
You're bunching Samuel and Robinson into that, right?
Exactly, yeah, correct.
Yeah, because for me I've got three first round grades and then kind of a borderline first, mm-hmm. And then like four firm seconds, and mm-hmm. then like a kind of a guy who's late day three or late day two.
Yeah, so similar. I'm interested who your four firm seconds are. Maybe it's just two of my guys are my borderline seconds. Because two of my firm seconds are Robinson and Samuel. So,
yeah, that's what I figured. Who I will tell you on the next episode whether or not I think they're firm seconds.
Stay tuned. Yeah, let's. No, I think it's better to save them for the nickel talk anyway. So I'm down with that.
But yeah, overall, lots of top end talent in this group. I think we'll end up with three first round corners for sure, like actually selected in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Caleb Farley slides just because of the back thing. But other than that, I would firmly say we end up with three and maybe four.
Yeah, I agree. And the third could be Farley or Newsom, in my opinion.
Yes, agreed. And let's start with highest floor then. Again, really good group. Kind of hard to, especially with the top two guys, for me at least, hard to kind of pick who had the higher floor. But give me yours.
Patrick Surtain. I think
I agree.
Yeah. And just to flip it, I put JC Horn for a high ceiling though. So.
Okay, fair. I put him for best bet.
Okay. All right. Surtain's my best bet. So Surtain, we'll get it out of there. He's my corner one. Top 15 grade on him. I think you have Horn corner one, not to spoil anything, but
yeah, I do.
We'll get there.
Spoil it. Now you don't have to listen to the episode.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
But you've already downloaded it, so we don't care.
That's a good point. I don't know how – I don't even look at the Apple Analytics, so I don't care if you're stopping after 6 minutes. Don't matter to me. Patrick Surtain, big boy, 6'2", 208, checks the old Seahawks arms box at 32 and a half inches. I'll mention that multiple times. Don't worry. Tested really well.
Love it.
That's prototype stuff all around there. And he's just so smooth. He's so smooth. Like, his feet are so quick, so smooth. He pattern matches very well. Like, off the line, too. He's mirroring off of press.
He is the most scheme versatile corner of the group. You mentioned, like, obviously Alabama plays a ton of pattern match. He is one of the best pattern match corners I've seen. So natural. Reading the receivers, shifting into zone. And you mentioned his ability to mirror. His feet are so soft and so quick. I know some people had some concerns about his long speed if you're trying to kind of nitpick his game. But I didn't really have that issue. And then he ran 4.42. He's so technically sound, so fluid, wonderful feet, great ball skills, awesome eyes in zone. I think he's better in zone than he is in man, and I think he's awesome in man.
That's fair. Like, you know, it's just the game really seems to slow down for him, and that's something you don't see with a lot of corners.
It's almost like he was born to play corner.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like you said, the instincts are great. His eyes are great. Football IQ is all there. Competitive as hell. He gives all effort every play. Like, he's. I think he's super clean. He's my top corner. He's a top 15 grade. I think he's going 10th to the Cowboys.
I think he'll be the first corner off the board, although I do have JC Horn as my corner one. It's just because, there's so few holes you can poke in him. It's like, it feels like almost maybe his dad was an all pro. That's how talented he is, right?
yeah.
I mean, but when you got that bloodline, and the NFL loves bloodlines, his dad was awesome for I remember him more for the Chiefs than the Dolphins, but
me too.
He was awesome. JC Horn's dad, not too bad either. But yeah, I don't know. He doesn't. We've had D. Milner comes to mind when you think of Alabama corner bust. Like, he is so much better than whatever D. Milner was coming out. And I think he's a more natural cover man than Marlon Humphrey was coming out. Unbelievable. I think he's first corner off the board. I don't know where. You said 10 Cowboys. He's perfect. I love him. And the fact that he's that long, too, and moves so... Like, a lot of the time with a corner with that type of size, they're going to be either tight in the hips, have some wonky feet. You'll be able to poke holes in them technically. He doesn't have that. He's one of the cleaner prospects in this draft, and he's physical enough. Like, I don't think he's J.C. Horn physical, but he's physical enough. He's really balanced in his press, and he's willing enough to come in run support.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'll poke some holes, and we can't just only praise him. I mean, we could, but I will say he's maybe not as strong as you'd expect for a guy that's 6'2", 208, but it's not enough to be a concern.
He's not the same animal in press that J.C. Horn is.
No. You see him not being great working off blocks. And I honestly think that's a concern with a lot of guys in this group, I found, to be honest. And then when you look at the athlete he is super smooth, and he's more smooth than an explosive athlete, which I guess you can offer, but I don't know. When he's so smooth and clean, I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, your highest ceiling. You said J.C. Horn.
Yeah, J.C. Horn's my highest ceiling. My quarterback, too.
And I've got him for best bet, my corner one. Him and Surtain, I think in most years, Horn and Surtain would be the consensus ones, but they're both just so very good. I think Horn's a little bit more twitchy than Surtain. Yep. He's also a lot more physical in press. I think he's more natural in man coverage. He's not the same player in zone that Surtain is. I think he's the type of guy you want him playing press man. Yeah. He is very, very balanced in press, and he consistently knocks receivers off time because his initial punch is so physical. He can get over aggressive and a little grabby too downfield, and he's gonna get called for PI at times.
Yeah, five flags in 7 games this year.
Yeah, I think that's something he's going to need to clean up in the NFL. Definitely. But again, I think more twitchy than Surtain. I think he's got better ball skills than Surtain. I think he does a better job locating ball in phase than Surtain. I think both of them have fantastic feet. I think Surtain's a little more, you mentioned the smoothness with him. I think he's more fluid in his hips. Not that Horn isn't.
Agreed. It's like his hips are very slightly sticky. Like, not enough to be worried about. But when you're comparing him to Patrick Surtain, a little more sticky.
And it feels like, because they're both so good, it's easier to, if you want to just compare them to each other. And I think Horn is the more natural press man corner. Surtain gives you, again, more schematic versatility with what he can do in coverage. And he's the smoother athlete, where Horn is the more explosive, twitchy guy. Both built really well. Horn 6'1", 205. And I think Horn's a little more physical in terms of run support as well. He's not going to knock you out. He's not Elijah Molden, who's obviously going to be in our nickel group, but some of the nickels are quite willing. You're right. Some of the corners are not quite the best at shedding blocks and kind of sticking their nose in. Horn, it's not an issue for me, though.
No. He's got some physical tackles for sure. And every snap, it's physical. It's both against the run and in the pass. You watched him play Kyle Pitts, physical as hell. it's a fun matchup. I remember, I think the very first snap of the game, Pitts pushed him into the dirt, kind of got him off guard. The ball was backside and away from the play, right? And put him in the dirt. And then, I don't know, maybe a quarter later, Horn got him back and kind of finished him. Same situation. So, I don't know. I love that. He's got that dog mentality to him. He's competitive as fuck. He's got the alpha mentality. You can see it on the field. And yeah, not worried at all in the tackler. The physicality works into that part too. Go ahead,
I put in my notes that he's the type of guy who he matches up. He's gonna follow whoever, mentioned him versus Pitts. They had him following Pitts at times in that Florida game. Yeah. That's kind of the way I look at him at the next level. For a team that plays a lot of man and wants their best corner to shadow the best playmaker on the other side, that's what I think you're doing with Horn.
And in man, he makes the window so tight. He's sticky as hell in coverage. He just eliminates space. The ball skills question, it's his hands are really good just to get on the ball, but you like to see him bring in more interceptions. He only had like two career interceptions. He dropped four. So I can see that, but like you're not, you know, the PBU, you know what I mean? He's finding the ball and he's knocking him down. He's just not bringing them in consistently. And then, yeah, like he can get grabby at the top of the route. You see his offhand kind of grabbing a rap at times. He's got to clean that up.
And that's the biggest worry with him. And that comes back to why I think Surtain's, and you obviously agree, has the higher floor. I think you're very comfortable from day one with Surtain. And obviously you have Horn with the higher ceiling. Horn, just his upside, like to be a Jalen Ramsey type island corner, is very exciting. And that's not to say Surtain can't be an all pro as well. Like they're both top 15, no doubt, players to me.
I actually have like a mid first round grade with Horn, but in terms of the actual draft, he's not getting out of top 15.
I'm always gonna fall in love with the guys who kind of play with that psycho mentality. Surtain's very calm though. And I mean that as a positive.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, it's like the game slows down for him. He's level-headed. It's just, you know, playing play out, ho-hum. I'm here to cover this guy.
Those are the two type of mindsets I think you look for in a DB. Yeah. Either the absolute dog that Horn is, or the Surtain, very calm, patient.
Totally agree.
Playmaker.
Time in and time out in the NFL, those are the guys that you see succeed. Either the fiery dog, or just the guy that's like, okay, this is my job to shut you down, and I'm going to do it. No big deal.
Yeah, like Darrelle Revis was that, like the calm guy.
And Sherman was the dog. Like, you know what I mean?
Jalen and Sherman are that. And Patrick Peterson, more the calm guy.
Yeah, totally, for sure.
Okay, my high ceiling, I actually went with Caleb Farley, the Virginia Tech corner, who obviously opted out of the season, was looked at as the potential corner one entering the year, opt-out. He also, after last season, had back surgery. Just recently had another back surgery. So that's kind of like the big question with him. Didn't get his testing numbers. 6'1", 207, obviously well built. Was 11th on Bruce Feldman's freaks list before the year. And if you're wondering how trustworthy is the freaks list, well, I mean, Quiddy Pay was one. His numbers kind of stacked up to what was said. Boogie Basham was two. His numbers stacked. Jason Away was four. Like the guys on the list who were part of this draft process have very much stacked up to what was said. And he mentions in this that he clocked a blazing 24.16 miles per hour on his GPS tracker against Notre Dame. So you know that top end speed, that explosiveness is there, and you see that on tape. Obviously, it's his sophomore tape. And the other thing with Farley is he was a high school quarterback. He was originally a receiver of Virginia Tech who redshirted, made the switch. So only really 2 years of playing corner. So that can be looked at as a negative or a positive. Like he's raw with all this talent as he's still learning the position, or he's raw. He's got the injury history.
Yeah.
How's the development going to look? He's a big question mark. I think you could justify putting him as a wild card even, just especially with the recent injury or surgery.
I did put him for my wild card, by the way.
Okay, perfect. But athleticism, size, upside. Yep. I love him in press man. I think he is a natural man cover corner. Has really impressive ball skills for a guy who's still new to the position. I thought he did a really good job consistently locating, and not just locating in phase and getting out and making play, but getting his hands and into the receiver's hands when the ball's coming in, timing with with playing the ball. Like, ball skills aren't just interceptions. I think to most people, they're less about the interceptions and more about the ability to locate and break up, because ultimately doing that consistently is more important. Really good feet, I found, for a bigger corner. Really smooth hips. Every athleticism box is checked, and really physical and press. Again, you worry, like, you can tell he is raw, especially when asked to play zone. It feels like he doesn't totally trust his eyes at times. He could be a hair late in making a play in zone. And then with him, it's all going to come back to the injury stuff and just being so new to the position still. Like, do you think he ends up going in the first round, considering two offseason in a row back surgery?
I think he goes between 28 and 35.
I'll
go really narrow there. Yeah.
Are you fourth corner off the board?
Not for me. Not for me.
No, but
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's my corner three. Is he your corner three?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see Greg Newsome go ahead of him.
No, me neither. Not at all. I think it's a 50-50 chance if he's corner three or four.
Okay. There's a chance someone could take him before then, though, assuming, let's say Horn and Surtain are both gone top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Corner is a big need. I bet Newsome ends up going early 20s.
Yeah,
it's tough. Again, it's really tough just because we don't really know what's up with that back. But again, lots of upside there.
Yeah, let me just add to the Farley conversation.
Yeah, go for it.
Definitely better in man than zone, and kind of played more zone at Vautech. Kind of didn't highlight his ability as much. And then like all the concerns in there. That's why I got him from a wild card. The injury history. Opting out, transitioning from quarterback just a couple years ago, and like you said, that could all be a highlight because he is a really good athlete. You know that for sure. I think maybe it's more of a long speed than an explosiveness. But that's not I'm saying he's not explosive. Because you see the click and close. When he has to, that's there.
I think that's the thing that stood out the most with him was. His click and close is like it wowed me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's you know, he almost didn't have to do it that often, but when he does, you know, very impressive. And going back to the ball skills, for a guy who isn't, you know, is pretty raw in a lot of aspects of his game, he's not raw in working around guys for PBUs, on the slant, he keeps his offhand clean and he knows how to get in front of a guy or his arms in front of the guy and knock down the ball. Like you said, getting to that catch point, putting his hands. That's really all it is playing corners, putting your hands in between the receiver's hands. That's all you got to do. Wow. It's easier said than done, though. but going to the raw side, I think his back pedal is a little choppy. I'm not sure if he's high cuts or if he just plays high, but I think sometimes it kind of slows his transitions down. And he can get over aggressive. You see him get beat by double moves with decent frequency. Not like some other guys. But again, it's a borderline top, borderline first round guy for me, grade wise.
The thing with the drop off from a Surtain and a Horn, who I think are instant pro ready guys, fairly. I don't know that he'll be starting right away. Right? I would maybe rather him not start right away.
Especially given the recovery process
I would argue Greg Newsome is more pro ready than Caleb Farley. Higher floor.
Yeah, no, I agree. Agreed.
Anyway, really, really good group of corners here. Value pick though. Who's the guy on day three that I mentioned? There's not a lot of guys I love on day three that I'm trying to bang the table for. So with the outside corners, there's a couple nickels I do like there. But who are you looking at there?
So I think he might be in your top 100, but I got a mid-fourth on him. Had an awesome Senior Bowl. Key Taylor from Washington. Look,
He's right in this range for me, too. Outside the top 100, day three.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you where he is on my board in a second. But really, this whole part is just going to be AJ's falling in love with tall and long corners. What else is new? Yeah, exactly. I'm just checking. I'm pretty sure he is in my... No, he's just outside my top 100. Anyways. I like Keith Taylor a lot. You throw that Senior Bowl performance into the mix, it's going to endear myself to guys or themselves to me a lot when you have a great Senior Bowl. Because he's definitely one of the standouts. He was the game MVP, in my opinion. It's just physical and competitive all week. Bit grabby, and you do see that on tape. I think he kind of struggled to find the football at Washington. Looked better at that in the Senior Bowl. For a bigger guy, I guess he's not that heavy. He's only 187, but he's 6'2". Another guy doesn't get off blocks overly effectively. He's not that strong. He's not he's not a terrible tackler, but he's a bit of a diver. But with that length, he's got, he ran a 4.53, but he's got straight line speed to stay in stride on deep routes. I got no issues there. The feet are quick. He can pattern match. The hips are fluid for a guy that tall. Tested well. So all of those ingredients, if you're getting him, you know, between 100 and 120, that's someone that I think you really want to bet on there.
Yeah, like I don't think he's a Pro Bowl type guy, but could definitely start for a couple seasons. Has, like, I got a Drake Kirkpatrick comp on him. I do worry because I think he's at his best again, press man, using that length.
Yeah,
I do worry because he is wiry and he's a little slight, and you mentioned mm-hmm. being 187. I do worry about how that will work against bigger NFL wide receivers. Mm-hmm. The athleticism, like, it's enough for his style of play, at least. I want to see him do a better job finding the ball, especially in phase. He can kind of get lost, and I don't love his eyes in zone, but I do think, like, he puts himself in the position. I just think he needs to do a better job, again, locating ball.
Yeah, agreed. And like I said, he cleaned a lot. And his Senior Bowl is hard to, you know, it's not game tape, but he did do it in the Senior Bowl game and in practice. So
he is my corner 11. So I do think
13 like fourth, for me. Yeah. Fourth round. Oh, they're same.
Yeah.
You take out Robinson and Samuel. Yeah.
So we're like minded on him, it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've AJ, my value pick's got to be a guy we've been talking about for like 4 years. Cam Bynum from Cal. I'm not giving up on my love for Cam Bynum. I don't care. He might not be the most athletic guy. This guy, how many guys are four-year starters, two-time captains? I know he didn't test all that great. And you, it shows up on tape. Like, the biggest questions mm-hmm. with him when you watch the tape is long speed. He is not that twitchy an athlete. He's a little robotic. He's really sound in zone. He played a lot of zone at Cal. He is really sound and has great instincts and eyes. He's a very willing run supporter. I kind of cheated because I actually think he's a safety, but I wanted to put him here. And I think he's a day three guy who you're going to move to safety and you're going to get a lot more value with him there. And a guy who's going to bring special teams willingness. Again, I referenced the four-year starter, two-time captain. Apparently, people rave about his football character. I love Cam Bynum. I love the way he plays. I love that he makes up for that kind of that being a step slow by just putting himself in a good position to make a play and knowing, again, the instincts, the cover instincts really stand out. And that's why I think he's better fit for safety as well. So,
where do you have him?
He's my corner 12.
Okay, so you are high on him. I think he's like an early sixth round guy for me.
I can tell you where on my board he is.
I do agree though that probably a move to safety. 140. Okay, so like that's like fifth. Yeah. So we're not even too far away. I do agree that a move to safety probably in the cards, and I kept him a corner too, and probably beneficial for him as well.
Yeah, the only way I think he could stick at corners if he went to a team that plays a ton of zone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Okay, how about your sleeper? Who do you like, I guess, mid to late day three, we'll say?
Yeah, I have an early fifth on him. I'm not sure where he's going to go. He's a bit of a wild card. Brandon Stevens from SMU.
Yo, that's my pick.
Let's go.
I mean, when you see that size and the testing at that size, and then he played running back at UCLA before transferring to SMU, there's all this stuff that gets you really interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy who might be a safety in the NFL. But
yeah, he might be.
You can see that twitch, and he is just so much bigger, especially in the AAC, so much bigger at corner than most of the corners you'll see there.
Yeah, he's 6 foot 2, 13. He's got the length to him too. And like you said, he ran a 4.44. He jumped really well under seventh cone, which I guess it's just really the box to check there. You know what the interesting thing is too? Like you said, he went to UCLA as a running back, played a little bit. But he started every game since he transferred to SMU, which is, I don't know, that just speaks something. You know what I mean? It's
captain. Too.
It's not like, Yeah, exactly. I mean, only one career interception, but it was that awesome. Hey, I think we got like 30 retweets or something from it. Awesome leaping interception against North Texas this year in the end zone. But I think you see some nice ball skills to him for sure, though. He's just like, also, sorry, just that. Like you said, explosive mover, really competitive. He's a guy who fights through blocks pretty well. I think he's going to, he might be a day one special teamer. He's aggressive as hell as a run defender. He's a solid tackler. It's just, you know, he's learning the position. So he's still super, super raw.
And part of the reason I think a move to safety makes it, I think he's stiff in the hips and his feet are a little slow. And that comes back to he's new, mm-hmm. with the feet at least, he's newer to the position. And that's, I threw a comp, and it's, I guess, I don't know if it's lofty, but the old Bills safety, Aaron Williams, who I think retired because of a medical thing, but I really liked Aaron Williams at Texas, and he played corner there. He shifted mm-hmm. the safety for the Bills, and he was a really quality starting safety. And I just think Brand Stevens reminded me a lot of him.
Yeah, that's a good one. And yeah, you're right. He definitely might be his talents might be better suited for safety. And he's got that – you know, there's a couple guys that – in this group that I'm like, well, maybe they're safeties, but they don't quite have the, you know, the instincts in the run and, or the aggressiveness in the run. And I don't think that's an issue for Stevens.
No.
So that's a good thing. And you do see like quicker guys cross him up, off the line. He had some penalties. I think he had 7 flags this year. So there's a lot of that stuff to clean up with, but no, move to safety could be really beneficial. I'm going to keep him at corner. I'll give him a shot outside, but if you know, I think you can move him to safety.
Okay, who's your deep sleeper?
Hey, like I said, it's just more of big and long guys. So I'm going to your favorite state in the nation, the beautiful state of Oregon, and the Oregon State Beavers with Nashawn Wright, their corner, who is 6'4", 183 pounds. So he's tall and lanky. And long as hell, 33-inch arms. I'll keep throwing that out there. Who transferred from the City College of San Francisco to Laney College to Oregon State, converted from a wide receiver in 2018.
Go ahead. Last chance you fans will remember him. His brother was a main person on the show, and he was a bit on the show. But his brother is also at Oregon State now and also very tall.
Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, all that rawness of learning the position show up. Like he's honestly, he just doesn't look that comfortable at times out there. He's grabby at the top of his routes. He's a bit tight off the line when he's trying to mirror off press. Like the footwork is sloppy. But he's again with that length. He ran a 4.47. That checks a box when you're that size. And I think you see like some of the like that deep speed. I don't think it's lacking there. Solid impress, more of a one arm, you know, jab kind of run style. But his feet are really quick for a guy his size. And, you know, he flashes some really nice tackling. He's got a good nose for the football. He's a couple just, you know, trying to rip the ball out, which I always appreciate at any defensive position. And like with that wide receiver background, he flashes some ball skills and he's physical at the catch point. So like, again, you're probably getting this guy, like I got a mid sixth round grade on him. You're probably getting him 6th, 7th, maybe UDFA. But all those traits, I think like there's a lot that you're going to want to just get them to your DB's coach and have them get coached up.
Okay. My pick is Illinois' Nate Hobbs. Didn't get a combine invite. Should have. Basically like a 3.5 year starter for Lovie Smith. 5'11", 196, ridiculous numbers. 4.48 40, but his jumping numbers are crazy. Good 3-cone too, 6.85. Really productive at Illinois, well built. I think he's got a chance to be a late 7th because of special teams potential too. But UDFA guy, and you're betting on length. I'm betting on explosive twitchiness. And Nate Hobbs raw, but again, played a ton of football in the Big Ten, was productive. Not the most technically sound guy, but you can see the twitch on tape. And really, he's quite physical. Like, he'll stick his nose in against the run. Needs to do a better job finding the ball in phase. And needs to be, I don't know, more confident, I guess is the word. Can get a little overly physical. But I think you got to bet on, if you're UDFA, there's got to be a reason. With Nashawn Wright, it's the length. With Nate Hobbs, it's the athleticism.
Yeah. No, again, yeah, when you're getting to day three, I think you're betting on a production or length or athleticism or a couple of the above.
Okay, your wild card was Caleb Farley. Mine is Kelvin Joseph.
That was Kentucky. My other choice, yeah.
Yeah, those felt like the two smart choices. Originally went to LSU, transferred after a year, ended up at Kentucky, was a big-time recruit. I think he was a five-star. And was an instant impact starter his first year on the field at Kentucky as a redshirt sophomore this year. Was playing really good football. Then there are concerns because basically he was playing, we'll say, more lackadaisically as the season went on. And Mark Stoops basically told him to opt out because if he wasn't going to bring it on the field, then like just opt out and go get ready for the NFL, basically. But you watch the tape, you can see why he was a big recruit, why he was originally at LSU, and why he's probably going top 100, should go top 100 based on the tape. Now, how high he could go. Let's say he had played the whole season at Kentucky. Let's say he played two. Like he's a guy who has the tools to have been a first round pick. He is. I love him in man coverage. I think he is so explosive and has awesome feet, especially for a guy who just didn't play that much college football and played really well. That when he was on the field in the SEC, tested awesome. Now the things that need to be worked on, he's a little wonky in zone, lacks cover instincts, ball needs to find it way more consistently. He's the kind of guy who's willing to gamble, so he'll get beat gambling, but he'll also make the big play gambling. I like my pro comp because of that. That's a teaser. And not the most, like, I mean, when you hear about the reason he opted out, it probably doesn't come as a surprise that he's not the most willing run defender.
And yeah, some silly penalties in there too.
Yeah, but like he is a very boomer bust. He might be the most boomer bust of the group.
Yeah. So I think I'm lower than where he'll end up going. I'm a late second, early third round. I think he's gonna go in the second round. Because of the athleticism, because of the pedigree to him. But yeah, like when you throw in, you know, like you said, they say there's maturity and accountability issues. He got suspended at LSU right before he left. But yeah, I mean, and only started like 9 games in his college career. But when you throw in the size, the athleticism, he ran 4.34, the click and close burst. You know what? You're right. He doesn't find the ball too great, but he's got soft hands when he gets there. So you like that. You can see some potential with him. Becoming a high end, or not high end, but you know, bringing interceptions down, like all the packages there. But yeah, he's like, you're right, he's totally one of the biggest boomer bust guys, maybe in the whole class.
Yep. And then your best bet was Surtain,
correct?
And mine was JC Horn. So
it's a good class.
Yes, those two are awesome though. But it's so fun to watch a great corner play football.
Yeah, no, it is. And like I said, just how easy Surtain makes it look, just really, just really is like, okay, this is the guy. And, you know, honestly, I think him and Horn go within 3 picks of each other. And I wouldn't be surprised if Horn is the first one at all. But I think regardless, say Horn goes 10, Surtain's coming off the board 12, 13, 14 at the latest.
Agreed. You know, you mentioned, I don't know, I had a transition planned, and then you kept talking, and I can't remember what it was.
I mentioned it, though, for sure.
You definitely mentioned it, and something that it reminded me of was Kanon sunglasses. Your outdoor experience could be better, clearly better. Kanon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lens for optimal clarity, the clarity you need to scout corners. Using Japanese optics, Kanon's lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than the other lenses, and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Kanon sunglasses elevate your experience outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code KanunCast15 at Kanun.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KAENONCAST15, Kanun, clearly better. AJ, do you wear your Kanuns when you're scouting?
It's the only way I do scout, buddy. You can't do it without it, especially when you got those rainy tapes and that Oregon State game where you can barely see the field. You gotta wear your Kanuns.
Speaking of Oregon State, and maybe it's nighttime, and that makes me think of the Pac-12 After Dark. And Pac-12 After Dark makes me think of Bet Online, because there's no better way to spend a Friday night in the fall than watching Pac-12 After Dark when you got some money on the line, that if it cashes in, you got beer for all day Saturday drinking for the games, which you've also bet on. So if you want to have a great weekend every weekend and weekday, because sports are also on the weekdays, betonline.ag has all the betting action. Hey, I was talking about college football, but guess what? The NBA and baseball and even hockey are all happening. Golf, the Masters. AJ won so much money at the Masters because of how much BetOnline was used to profit.
I had a lot of Hideki fucking stocks, baby.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. Okay, before we count down, corner is usually one of the positions that has the most players taken. And if you're calling all nickels corners, I probably got something like 30 draftables. And last year there was 27 corners taken. 2019 there's 32, which was the most in the draft among positions. 2018, 29. 2017, 34, which again led the positions. And then 2016, 32. So generally we're touching the 30s.
There's always a lot of corners. It's corners and wide receivers, which, I mean, not surprising.
Not surprising. I can't wait for the day it's punters and kickers.
Go to the CFL draft if you want that action, baby.
Okay, you hit me with your 15 to 11, and then we'll actually break down our top 10s.
All right, 15 for me. Speaking of Oregon again, Thomas Graham.
I've got him at nickel.
Okay, all right. Interesting conversation there. I get it. I'll keep him aside. I got my comp. I don't know. My comps are weird this week. Duke Dawson, but better. Duke Dawson. That went for the in the second round, but this guy's gonna play like he goes in the fourth round, where Duke Dawson should have went. 14 for me from Canada, baby. Benjamin St. Juice from Minnesota. Another weird comp. Clean Holton Hill.
Hey, mine too. 13
for me. Keith Taylor, we already talked about. Thomas Graham, late fourth round grade. St. Juice, a mid fourth. I'm high on this group. Taylor's a mid fourth, like I said. My comp for him is Aleen Rasul Douglas, who you know I loved. 12 for me. One of the big risers. I don't know where he's going to go. Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas. I don't have him in the top 100. I think he's like 101 on my board as we talk. Early fourth round grade. My comp is Darius Butler. 11 for me. Guy we've been talking about for many years. Paulson Adebo from Stanford. I got a mid third round grade. My comp is Drayden Florence. Big throwback.
Drayden Florence is a good football player.
He was.
Those old Chargers teams. 15 for me is Rodarius Williams from Oklahoma State. 14, Brandon Stevens from SMU. 13, Benjamin St. Juiced from Minnesota. 12, Cam Bynum from Cal. And 11, Keith Taylor from Washington.
All right, 10. This we get into the big dogs. All these guys are early third and higher. So Kelvin Joseph's my 10. We already talked about him. Late second, early third round grade for me. My comp is Trayvon Mullen. I don't know why. He just feels like Trayvon Mullen when I watch him. 9 for me, Tyson Campbell, Georgia. Late second, early third round grade, so we're very close. My comp for him is Desmond Trufant. 8 for me, you got him at nickel. I got him here, Asante Samuel. Junior, that is mid second, so a bit of a leap there. I got a tight group here. My next few guys are mid second. My comp is Dante Jackson. I couldn't find a comp I really liked for Asante Samuel. Seven for me, Aaron Robinson. One of the guys I'll be pounding the table for in this group. Mid second round grade. I kind of just went to the Mike Hughes comp because it was easy. And six for me is Efatu Melifonwu. Loved his brother. I'm going to love him as well. Mid second, my comp's Xavier Rhodes.
Hey, mine too. And hey, I also have mid six.
Hey, there we go.
Basically, we have a very similar top 10. I just have two of your guys in my nickel group.
Makes sense.
Ten for me, this is where I have Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas. 114th on my board, Ronald Darby comparison. Nine, Paulson Adebo from Stanford. 86th on my board, Shaquille Griffin comp. Eight, Tyson Campbell from Georgia. 74th on the board, William Jackson comp. Seven, Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky. 70th on the board, Janoris Jenkins comp, Jackrabbit. And then six, Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. 51st on my board, Xavier Rhodes comp. So there's a bit of a jump to where he is.
Yeah.
Let's start with Rochelle just quickly because you don't have him in there. And I think we're both lower on him than what we've heard. I'm with you on the day three, the fourth round, early mid fourth round. Obviously tested off the charts. I think someone's going to bank on that upside. You throw on the tape, and quite productive at Central Arkansas, I might add. You throw on the tape, you see that athleticism, but he is so raw, and I think his ball skills just scared me off. He doesn't seem all that. I think he's so much better in zone than he is in man. I thought he struggled a lot in man. And that comes back to finding the ball. Being able to find the ball in phase was a big problem. But again, you can see the athleticism. I think he's got solid enough feet, and he's a fluid athlete for sure. I think he's going to take some time, which may be not surprising considering he's coming from Central Arc. He's a boomer bust guy. He's like a lesser version of Kelvin Joseph in my eyes.
Yeah, no, very much so. And I agree with everything you said. You throw that in, pass interference issues this past year. Isn't a very aggressive player, I found.
No, I don't think he's a, like, he's not a guy I'm playing press man with. And I also, in terms of run support, I think he's a below average tackler.
Yeah, no, and I felt like he just gave up a lot of stuff in front of him and then kind of dragged and tackled, and it is what it is.
Like, I think a zone, he's at his best if he's playing in a zone heavy scheme where that explosiveness to react and find, like, he's much better at finding the ball with his in zone. Like, he doesn't have great eyes in zone, but like, he really struggles to find the ball in man.
No, yeah, I agree. But like you said, with that athleticism, 4.39, big jumps, good agility, and that length, he's going to go top 100. Someone's going to bet on that top 100.
I just hope it's not in the second round.
Oh yeah, I mean, but yeah, I think for the team's sake and for his sake. So there's not, like, second round's got a little more expectations than a third round pick does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. With Paulson Adebo, obviously opted out this year, was phenomenal as a freshman. Kind of took a step back in 2019, but like, not a drastic step back, but I just remember after his freshman year, there was, this guy's a future first-round pick. Yeah. He's a third-round guy, I think you said as well.
Mid-third,
yeah. Yeah, he's another guy. I really think press zone is his best fit. He tested better than I was expecting, actually. But, again, love him playing press. I think his long speed and ability to stay connected to receiver on deep routes is a question. He can kind of get lost downfield, but if he's playing press zone, I like his instincts. I think he does a good job locating ball and breaking up passes, and another long guy.
Yeah, like Rochelle, but at Stanford, you know, he's 6'1", 200 almost, good length, like an angular frame, kind of high cut with really good testing. That 6'6", 9'3" come kind of out of nowhere. So yeah, that's, you're betting on all those things top 100, just like you are going to with Robert Rochelle. And yeah, going back, Gabe Davis in 2019 just kicked his ass.
Yes.
Just ruined him. Like, multiple times, just absolutely cooked him with double moves and just cooked him.
That's something you mentioned, the double moves are an issue for him.
Yeah. Exactly. But,
like, I think he, like,
tools are there.
Yes, in the physical
and the production.
Yeah, big ball production.
Yep. No, exactly. So, like, third round, mid-third, late-third, you take him there, and I think you feel like, you know, you're going to get someone in there to work on. And pretend, like, Drayden Florence is a bit of a high-end, like, what he could be kind of comp. But down the line, if you can develop him, I think that's what you're looking at.
With Tyson Campbell, you think third round-ish?
I got a late second, early third on him, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, but we're about the same. Obviously, another long guy, lots of long guys. When he is on, he looks like he, mm-hmm. and he was a five-star, he looks like he could have been a first-round pick.
Definitely.
The man coverage, press man, but there's also times where he really can struggle, especially finding the ball. He can get grabby. There are games also, though, like against Auburn, like he made Seth Williams his son. but there's other games where you can see the rawness, and he's a young player, yeah. and he can get kind of wonky with his foot. Like, he'll take false yeah. steps. And I worry about, like, he'll be physical in coverage, but not so much against the run.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I'll throw some more in there. He's just a bit, like, imbalanced when he's in his transition there. Yeah, especially, like, and he's super raw, especially when he's, like, just trailing a receiver. It's kind of like he just doesn't know where they're going. And, like, Seth Williams, he put the locks on. But, like, if you got a good route runner, they can put some work in him. Pretty decent.
Yeah, like, he's at his best against those power forward types. And, like, he's not a guy you would feel comfortable following, like, Stephon Diggs into the slot.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like I said, kind of struggles to find the ball and some kind of poor awareness at the catch point at times. But yeah, you throw all that aside when he's 6'1", 193, 32-inch arms, I'll keep saying it, ran a 4.36, tested great. He just turned 21. You see the smooth hips, the feet are quick. It's kind of funny. When he's trailing, he kind of loses sense. But off the line, I think he mirrors well. So like he puts himself in a good position that kind of loses it. He's got that kind of second gear to make up ground on the deep balls, with the deep speed too, not physical in the run, or maybe it's just kind of inconsistent, but he's kind of physical through the route. So a lot of pieces there that I like him a lot, and yeah. another guy like you could turn this guy into something special. The traits are there. It's just, is it gonna all come together for him?
And then six, or well. We both had him sick. We already talked about Kelvin Joseph. So, Melifonwu, obviously, his brother, checkered NFL time because went way too high just because his athleticism and all that yep. and didn't work out. He is a much better football player than his brother and has incredible athleticism like his brother. And the Xavier Rhodes comp feels like it works because of that size. He can overwhelm people at the line of scrimmage using that size. He is way more fluid than you would expect out of a corner of that size. Mm-hmm. You can see the twitch. I do think ball skills need to improve. He needs to, again, a guy who needs to do a better job finding the ball in phase. And like, he needs to be better at locating and making play on the ball. I think he's really great in zone coverage and good enough in man. Feet can be an issue. I think he's a guy who, similar to Tyson Campbell, is going to struggle with route runners, which, I mean, that's kind of classic with all bigger corners.
You know what I think is funny? He's kind of the opposite of Tyson Campbell in the aspect where he mirrors really well off the release. He doesn't really mirror well off the release where Campbell mm-hmm. does. Yes. But then early in his pedal, he's really good in his mirror. So it's kind of funny. You know, also kind of funny with him, too. You see some tightness in his hips when he's kind of flipping, but not when he's changing direction and kind of making a play on the ball.
Yeah, for a bigger guy, his change of direction is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, it, like, you know, the instincts are kind of raw. Like, he's more reactive than instinctive. Yes, yeah.
Like, and he's a guy who, like, is just such a freaky athlete. I'm pretty sure he's playing lacrosse at Syracuse early on in his career there as well.
you gotta love that. You know what? Just a couple words. I'm a really big fan of Melifonwu, and he's one of my favorite. Yeah, more favorite players to watch. So like another thing, it's kind of like you just gotta kind of clean it up because I don't know if he's like not a super active run defender, or maybe he's just a bit hesitant. Or, like, he just zones in on his guy in coverage and kind of just needs to read the backfield better. I think it might be that one.
There's a because couple it's not, guys in general yeah. in this class who do a bad job
yes.
realizing it's a run play.
Yeah, yeah, they do. No, for sure. And you know what? That might just be the way they're coached up
also
now.
Also true.
Yeah. But, no, okay. I don't think it's a lack of willingness with Melifonwu. Because you'll see him run a lane and make a hit, and he's feisty.
Skills, yeah, his take-on skills aren't bad. It's,
yes. I think it's
more just awareness than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he's got some better take-on skills, more of the better take-on skills in the group, because his hands are strong. Like, he got some good pop in his hands. He can shed and make a tackle. Mm-hmm. And you see the athletic ability when he's coming down to play the run. More on the plus side. The ball skills... you'd like to see him bring down more interceptions. I think I'm a little higher on him just getting his hands on the ball. He's physical at the catch point. I like that. He's got some thump as a tackler, going back to that, and I don't know. Like, I think he's another guy that takes good angles to the ball, not as a ball carrier, but with the ball in the air. Getting PBUs without turning his offhand and turning the guy. All the pieces are there, and like you said, he's 6'2" and a half, 205, and he's long. And he's a good athlete. Everything is there for him to be an Xavier Rhodes at his best type of corner.
Yeah, the Vikings should draft him. You're right.
they do love drafting corners. So would you be surprised?
No. Okay. Want to give me your 5-1?
Yeah. Let's do it. 5 for me. Kind of in the same range here, but a little bit ahead. Eric Stokes from Georgia. I got a mid second on him. My comp is Kyle Fuller. 4 for me, Greg Newsom. I got an early second round grade on him.
Finish your drink.
I struggle with the comp. I put DJ Hayden +++. So maybe DJ Hayden if he lived up to where he went expectations. 3 for me, Caleb Farley. I think we're gonna have the same top 5. Oh no, we don't. Never mind. I'm full of shit. No.
Oh wait,
same guys but different order.
Our five to three is the same.
Yeah. Borderline first. I got him that 25-40 range. I had Drayden Florence earlier, so I had to come back and hit Quinton Jammer here for Caleb Farley. 2 for me, JC Horn, 15-25 draft grade. But I think he's like 14th, 15th on my board. So I struggle with a JC Horn comp. I tried to do a throwback to a guy that was underrated, Chris McAllister. It was similar build, maybe not as athletic, but a really good football player.
I have a Chris McAllister poster in my childhood bedroom.
Chris McAllister, he's way too forgotten because he's a really good football player.
It's because there were so many great players on that defense. Yeah. But he was all-pro in his prime.
Yeah, no, exactly. And number 1 for me is Patrick Surtain, top 15 grade. And I had to do the Nnamdi Osimo comp.
I wrote down 2 for him. That was one of them. I had a tough time with some of these comps as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5 for me is also Eric Stokes, 42nd on my board. I think he is... I don't know that he will be the first corner of the second round taken, but I think he should be. I got a Byron Jones comp. He is so freaking athletic. More on that in a bit. 4 for me is Greg Newsom from Northwestern. 26 on my board, Darius Slay comp. 3, Caleb Farley. 15th on my board, very high on Caleb Farley. I'm betting on that upside. Stephon Gilmore comp. Like, I really like Caleb Farley. 2, Patrick Surtain. 13th on my board. I put the awesome wall. I also put Antonio Cromartie. I struggle to pick one. And then 1, J.C. Horn, 11th on my board. Marlon Humphrey comp.
Nice. Yeah. Sorry. Just to clear it up, Surtain is 12th on my board, and Horn is 16. I don't. There's no one jumping either though. So like my top 20 is pretty much set in stone now.
Okay. Let's talk to Stokes, who kind of was overshadowed, it felt like, during this season by Tyson Campbell. Better football player, freaky athlete.
Yeah.
I thought. Like that twitch, that his footwork, it all, like, I think he could play press, he could play off. He's part of the reason I think he's the first corner off the board on day 2. I think he's more scheme versatile than a lot of these other guys. He's a lot cleaner.
He can play inside too.
Yeah, like he can follow a guy and
yeah,
there's a lot to like with him. Like, I think he's a long-term starting NFL corner who's got some borderline Pro Bowl upside. He's not the most physical dude in press, and especially not the most physical dude tackling, but I think he does a really good job in coverage. With his cover instincts, I think he does, especially in that Florida game, the pick six off Trask, where he was kind of physicaling his receiver down the field and came off him, had eyes on Trask, played the receiver with his body, had eyes on Trask, popped off his guy. It was a lot of bad from Florida, and just found the ball and it ended up in the end zone. You saw his speed on that play too.
He's dangerous after the interception.
Yeah. It's just, for me, that athleticism, the ball location skills, and the I really think he has great feet, too. Not a lot of false steps I found with him. All that just packages into being an NFL starting corner, and I can get over the lack of willingness in the run.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, because he's not small. Like, he's 6 foot and a half, 194, with good length, almost 33-inch arms. But he's kind of got like a narrow frame, which I found kind of interesting.
He's built like a sprinter, which he ran track, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So, and then, like, I agree with a lot of what you just said. I'll add that, like, he competes with physical targets better than most guys with his type of frame. So, like you said, he's physical. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing.
Yeah. No, I know. And then, I think, like, another guy kind of bit grabby with his offhand, which a lot of corners are. It's hard not to be. Kind of plays the man instead of the ball at times, which never great. You know, he just settles for letting the guy make the catch and kind of bring him down quick. And then, I don't know, I think he can kind of just improve his feel for routes and the space around him through traffic, you know, on those crossers and stuff. You feel like he can get a little bit lost. So just things to clean up, but the upside is huge, and I do like Eric Stokes a lot.
And then with Greg Newsom, I think he is so fluid and natural, wonderful feet, really solid. No, he tested, I think, even better than I was expecting, but really just natural man cover corner. Not gonna overwhelm you with physicality, but just his mirroring ability is really awesome. His feet are some of the best in the class. I think he's a borderline Pro Bowl type player in the NFL and an instant impact starting corner. I don't know, he doesn't really have anything that he's just really clean is kind of was my main takeaway with Greg Newsom.
I know, you know what's also interesting, like you said, he's a clean guy. He's just turning 21 as well, which he feels like he plays beyond his age. Obviously a compliment. You know what? He's kind of like you said, definitely one of the best feet in the class. He plays really well balanced. He's got that click and close burst. He's aggressive through the catch point. I think there's like sometimes a very slight hesitation in the trigger to close, which will probably come with what time. So I'm not worried about that. Some of the more knocks on him, another guy who's kind of wiry, like he's kind of narrow and not super long, but like it's not a huge knock. Only one career interception, but he's getting his hand on the ball a lot, so you're going to always want him to be bringing more down. And I don't know if this is something that I kind of just noticed. He's kind of got like a weird mechanical running style to him. I don't know. Did you notice that, or is it just me?
Well, I think he's really smooth. I kind of understand what you mean. I think he's really smooth, and see it more as he's technically sound with the way he plays.
You know when you really see it is when he's just like, you know, trying to make up ground on a deep route or something like that. I don't know what it is. I'm not even saying it's a knock. It's just kind of something that I noticed, and it was kind of awkward to me. I don't know. Good football player. Would I be surprised to see him go in the first round? No, at all. I kind of expect him to.
I think he deserves to go in the first round, because I'm not going to have 32 first round grades, and I think I think mid to late 20s is his perfect spot.
He's probably going to end up like 31 or 32 on my board. So, yeah, like right around there. Yeah, probably like 31, to be honest, if I'm just retracting. Yeah, so, you know, I like Greg Newsome. He's a good football player. He's kind of like an interesting. He's clean. I agree.
Okay, and then we talk fairly. We talk Surtain. We talk corn. That's enough of that. We're talking Nichols tomorrow. So you'll hear AJ finally get to talk about Asante Samuel and Aaron Robinson. I'll also talk about them, and then we'll talk about how Elijah Molden's perfect, and you know, gets the UW bump and all that stuff. The normal stuff we give you every year from the show.
Do you have Wade as? Where do you have Wade?
I have him with Nichols.
Okay. I do, right now, too, but don't be surprised if I have him as a safety, but yeah.
I was debating that literally all day today as I watched him, and then I decided Nickel.
Any of the safety guys that you lumped into Nickel just for tomorrow?
I debated it. I didn't, like, Ardarius Washington, but to me he is just, he's more of a Nickel in general, but no, like, Javon Holland I'm sticking with at safety. I think he's kind of the biggest question.
So you stuck with Holland at safety or at nickel?
Safety.
Okay. And Washington at nickel.
At nickel, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm leaning that way right now as well.
Because I just wanted to make the safety talk more interesting. okay. NFC North mock.
Yeah.
You got the Lions. You can go ahead.
Lions pride. Their first pick, I think they're coming away with Devontae Smith. Bama is who I'm putting them, 7. This might be a trade back, but I think Devontae Smith's their guy. My kind of whole mock is getting players to Detroit who can kind of, or for most of these guys, that play with an edge or like play with a quiet confidence. You know, guys that culture can kind of change the culture.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Devontae Smith, I think he's definitely one of those guys. More of a quiet leader and obviously – fucking stud. Bring him in. There's your wide receiver 1. 41st overall. I'm bringing in Nick Bolton, one of Rob's favorite players. Another guy. He's going to bring the thump in the run game. He's going to be a tone setter on defense. You're going to stick him in the middle. And you're going to feel good about that. Third round, 72nd overall. Ronnie Perkins, who another guy. Really, really good motor. Obviously some suspension issues and stuff, but when he's on the field, he's a damn good football player, and I think he kind of fits what I expect that new Aaron Glenn defense to look like coming off the edge. And then pick 101 from the Rams for Goff. I'm taking Robert Rochelle here.
That's a worthwhile bet for them to make.
Yeah. This Aaron Glenn looks at him. He's like, okay, this is a project for me. I know my corners. Let's get him in. I can work with him. And I can turn him into someone that can start opposite Jeff Okuda, who is also going to be some work for him. But no, I think that's someone that he's going to be excited to get his hands on.
That feels like an ideal 4 first picks for them.
Thank you.
Assuming they can't get one of the quarterbacks.
Yes. Yeah, that's the biggest assumption, and I'm making that assumption.
Fair. Okay, Vikings. I will start with the 14th overall pick where I – it's kind of – this. We talked about this on our Edge show. This is the spot that it feels like the first Edge goes – I've penciled in Jalen Phillips, who's my number one edge, but it could be really, it could be any of them. You bet on that athleticism, and I think sticking him opposite Danielle Hunter would be pretty terrifying. They do not have a second round pick, third round, 78th overall. They need a safety to put with Harrison Smith. They also have some questions at corner in general, including at the nickel spot, where Richie Grant can play safety or he can play nickel. Richie Grant's kind of polarizing. There seems to be some people absolutely love him to the point where he's a top 40 player. Some people don't like him. I kind of feel as if I'm in the middle. I think he's kind of in the 65 to 80 range, so I've got him right here. And we'll talk about him more on the safety show. In the 90th, they let Riley Reiff go. That either means Ezra Cleveland's moving to left tackle, or they need a tackle. And if Ezra Cleveland's moving to tackle, they need a guard. Liam Eikenberg, Notre Dame. He doesn't have the upside which they bet on with Ezra Cleveland last year, but he's one of the safer picks. And I think he's a good bet to potentially play guard if they move Ezra Cleveland to left tackle.
Yeah, no, I like them bringing in someone that's just going to come in and plug and play, and you're not going to have to worry about as opposed to, you know, Ezra Cleveland, who big flashes last year. But if he's kicking outside, even if he's not, he's a big work in progress. Mm-hmm. You know, they swung with Brian O'Neill a bit too. You know what I mean? So they've always kind of swung on these guys. So I think bringing in someone like Eichenberg that you're not going to have to worry about. You're like, okay, he's my guard. We're good.
Based on you mentioning Ezra Cleveland and Brian O'Neill, let's say the thought process is Ezra Cleveland sticking at guard. And I know Spencer Brown played right tackle, but Spencer Brown fits the way they've drafted for that offensive line in recent history.
He does.
Okay, Chicago Bears, 20th overall. Just can build, like, I don't know. The plan here doesn't make a ton of sense, it seems. It seems like the front office, the coaching staff's gone after this year. So just take a safe bet in Tevin Jenkins, who could plug and play at right tackle, help kind of pick up the slack for that offensive line, be a tone setter. 52nd. Get Eddie Jackson, who's fantastic on the back end. Get him a guy who can make some plays down low and cover tight ends. Humpson and Cyril Dean from Florida State, another guy we're going to talk about on our safety show. He's a bit of a wild card because of the injury history.
Yeah.
But the size is really interesting. And although he struggled against slot receivers and outside receivers at the Senior Bowl, he was awesome when he was matched up one-on-one with tight ends. And then third round, a super recent riser, who I saw the hype and I was like, let's see. And I believe AJ actually mentioned him on a receiver show.
As a sleeper, I think.
Yeah. Amir Smith-Marset, 83rd overall. Bank it. I think he's a top 100 pick. Ridiculous testing numbers to go with. Not the most production in college, but he's constantly open. He's so twitchy. I think he'd be... Assuming that Anthony Miller is actually traded instead of just constantly being talked about as a trade piece. And I think he'd be a really interesting complement to Mooney and Allen Robinson. And he's a bit of a gadget guy, too. Can do a lot of things. And be a return man. Because they lost Cordero Patterson to the Falcons. So then you return.
That's a good point. I like him. I'm not buying the top 100 quite, though. But I can understand.
He's all the way up to my receiver 14.
Okay. All right. I feel like if he lands with the Bears, it's like he's going to get wasted. But yeah, I see the idea from the Chicago side for sure.
Okay, go ahead with speaking, the Packers.
Yeah, speaking of gadgety wide receivers, Kadarius Toney to the Packers, 29th overall. Do it. Make it happen, Green Bay. I love this so much. He can be your Tyler Irvin for what they've actually been trying to get out of Tyler Irvin that doesn't work. He can just be your Tyler Irvin times Randall Cobb, and he can finally give Aaron Rodgers. It's ridiculous how little they put around Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they've done a good job finding later guys and Adams, obviously, but just please just spend a premium pick helping Aaron Rodgers out, because you did zero last year helping him out. Do it here. You owe it to him after his fucking MVP year.
All right, stop waxing poet. Get to the next pick, friend.
This next pick is less fun. That's why I spent more time. Baron Browning, 62nd overall to the Packers.
Yeah. Oren Burks, Baron Browning, all the athleticism.
Yeah, get a big old thumper. They missed Jeremy Chinn last year because they're idiots. He's not Jeremy Chinn, but size and speed, athleticism, bring him in, let him thump around and just run behind that Packers defensive line. Speaking of the Packers defensive line, I'm adding to it Deo Odiyangbo from Vandy. Maybe this is a little late, but I like the fit. Kind of, you know, you can kind of do everything in the versatile front there.
You get Preston Smith, you got Za'Darius Smith, you got Rashawn Gary, and now you get Dio. You got all the edges.
Yeah, but they need, you know, they need, I mean, Kenny Clark in the middle, but they need like a five tech. So, like, just kind of play him more as a five tech, and then
she when did they go to third down.
Yeah, exactly. So, first and second down, true five tech. Third down, using whatever crazy packages you want to come up with all those guys. And I think, you know, early attack offense, wide receiver specifically, and then add to that defense, and you'll be getting back to the NFC Championship game.
Oh, wow. Bold statement. I would have taken a running back.
I'm still upset how terrible that fucking draft class was last year.
Okay, AJ Dillon had a 100-yard rushing game in the snow.
Yeah, and then they signed Aaron Jones back. Ooh, I love Aaron Jones, but...
Oh, my God.
Josiah DeGuara is breaking out, though, so that's the truth.
That is the truth, and that's what we'll end on.